Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. Hi, mate.
Hi, mate.
There's a lot to discuss this week in terms of both NXT and also things that have happened at WrestleTalk. It's
golly.
The dark days are upon us. the shoulder pads are here, as they say. But first of all, we're going to be discussing Tommaso Ciampa returning to NXT and turning heel again. Here's the show. Let's kick right into talking about Tommaso Ciampa, because he came back on this episode. They pre-announced it, saying that Ciampa would be here this week. Jake Atlas comes out ready for a match. I feel like Jake Atlas was the perfect choice for this, because
he wasn't ready.
he was the most fresh-faced, I think, just... Yeah, he's got that kind of like babyface vibe that you don't want to see get absolutely destroyed. And Ciampa comes out with this brand new creepy mask that he was wearing. His hood was up, so we should have known something was happening. And he gets in the ring, and they sort of have a quick confrontation. He pushes Jake back into the corner. Jake steps forward, gets right into Ciampa's face, and they sort of like touch heads for a second. Then Ciampa just goes nut and then just kicks the crap out of him on the floor before hitting Willow's bell. And my notes just here just goes, oh, squashy squash. But squashy squash was not enough to reframe Ciampa as the ticked off Tommaso Ciampa that's come back. Because he then beats up Atlas, taking him to the outside, chucking him into the barricade, chucking him into the steps. The ref comes out and they try and send him away. And he runs over and he stomps Jake's head and puts him underneath the ring. And then slingshots him up into the apron, basically nailing his neck into the bottom of the ring. And then when they come out with a stretcher, pretty quickly, I might add, they come out with a stretcher, stick the old brace on him while Ciampa's sitting on the apron in his kind of, you know, where he normally pats himself on the back and does his clap pose, but he's completely sort of still and motionless. And then they put him on the stretcher and he jumps up at the last moment, grabs Jake and does a DDT from hanging off the stretcher. This is heel Ciampa's back, baby. His vibe matches his music. Finally, once again, the two are married.
I am evil Ciampa. Oh my god! When he first came out looking like the Bludgeon Brothers' dad, I was a little bit worried. But God Almighty! Oh no! Yes, that's the Simpsons bit of the kid watching Homer beat up the crusty burglar springs to mind. But geez, I'll tell you what I love right about this is that yes, Ciampa is returning. So basically, he went away and sort of has risen from the ashes, but unfortunately, he's re-risen as sort of the evil version of himself, like Angel and Buffy. he has lost his soul and gone back to being Champalus.
Are you saying he lost his virginity somewhere in there?
Yeah, okay. I am.
Yeah, good.
That's right. But he's gone back to being the worst human being in the world. And what I really liked is that they didn't repeat any spots, because they could have for ease of like old heel Champa's back, they could have done the air raid crash like off something through a table, you know, like the Johnny Gargano thing, or they could have, you know, had him, you know, gone into the back or got under the ring and picked up a crutch. But I like, you know, the slingshot under the ring. That's not a spot I've seen before. And then following up with the Widow's Bell while he's wearing the neck brace, which looks so much more painful. It feels a little bit like a hard reset for Ciampa, because Ciampa was quite aimless. And now he is back sort of in the headlines. We're talking about him first. This is always the most exciting version of Ciampa, the psycho killer. I'm impressed they did it without retreading old ground.
Yeah, and also, like, I think the focusing in on people's necks has a sort of undertone of its own there, and being like, you know, I'm gonna hang you up underneath the ring, and I'm gonna break your neck over a stretcher when you've got a neck brace on. This is all very poignant for Ciampa. He's a man who keeps getting laid out of NXT in the limelight by people. Well, basically getting hurt in matches, but then also I think that it's quite nice to do the Karrion Kross thing has now pushed me into this realm where I'm actually going to take some of my vengeance on people, giving them the same injuries that I've been given through years of hard work here. And I wonder if they're going to play into that with his character, because I think that could be a really interesting thing to do than just, you know, it's a very different side of Ciampa that we've not seen before.
I just like the idea that, like, while he went away, he was watching NXT and just saw the kind of the Ciampa leave you and just saw, oh, fireballs, is it, mate? Watch this. Dead. Breaking necks and just stabbing people. It's like, that is how you cause chaos in NXT.
We don't do magic. I wonder if this is like a last minute decision, right? I wonder if they were originally intending to bring him back babyface because, you know, the beating that he suffered at the hands of Kross made it seem like a really compelling story would be Kross as the champion, and you build babyface Ciampa back up into facing him at TakeOver before Mania and be like, okay, cool, this feels like the right ascension for Ciampa to get back Goldie. He's like one of the biggest faces in NXT. And obviously now that Kross, which we'll talk about in a second, has had to relinquish the NXT championship, there is this void at the top, and they were clearly ready for a big heel champion. They've just made a guy that is going to be that champ that definitely could fill that void. And, you know, most of the plans they probably had with Kross wouldn't necessarily have to change. Like, the next challengers could, if they've got a list of baby faces they wanted to face Kross next, all those guys could go up against Monster Ciampa, who's breaking people's necks and going too far. Like, I think this was really, really compelling stuff. I love this. I love Ciampa anyway, but I never really, babyface Ciampa never really sat right with me. Like, the Ciampa that gets booed out of the building is the best version of Ciampa. And, like, truly, he sells the psychopathic aspect of his character better than anyone else, because he does it with, there's no glee there. Like, Karrion Kross has that wrinkle, that little twinkle in his eye of like, I enjoy causing you pain, whereas Ciampa's just like, I am just doing this because I can, and I don't even really care about doing it. Like,
I'm everything he does person. I can't stop hurting people, and it's a problem, and it makes me sad. I'm just going to sit here and think about what an awful person I am. Here I am, and here I go again. I think if anything, Ciampa, like, if anyone, I think Ciampa will actually really thrive in without fans, because people really like Ciampa, because he's great at wrestling, and people really like dastardly heels. And that's kind of what turned him face, really. Like, he shouldn't have turned face. He's a horrible bastard, and he's never done anything virtuous. He's just, you know, everyone else was, you know, Johnny Gargano just started being a bit more of a dick than him.
He was just really unlucky with injury, basically, and that was enough to turn him face. It's like, oh, you real life turned him face. All of his work didn't.
Same with Kross. You know, like, that's, you know, he's going to come back, and the alignments will have shifted, and it'll be face Kross versus heel Ciampa, just because Ciampa has been around and slowly massacring NXT. But without the fans cheering him on, I think, yes, this will be fun to watch kind of this version of Ciampa, especially not having him being, well, hopefully not having him being tethered to Johnny Gargano, as William Regal would call him.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I just hope the NXT audience can keep it in their heads. The wrestlers there can keep it in their heads that they're supposed to boo Ciampa, because there was even a bit where Regal was announcing who was going to be in that match, and when he said Ciampa, everyone went oh, boo.
Wait,
hang on.
Everyone killed a friend of us.
Yeah, it's like they're all heels, guys. Get with the program. You've got to boo all of them. You don't want any of them to be in the match.
God, there isn't the face in this. It's Cole, isn't it?
Cole will be the face in this match. That's without a doubt.
As if it matters in NXT, really.
I think also like Balor, I'd make an argument that Balor's pretty much a face. He's like a badass tweener. He's not. He doesn't really do anything. He doesn't cheat particularly. He just is good and backs it up. But he does it in a way that's like, I don't care if you get in my way. You make me angry, etc., etc.
You think he's ready for the push? The big push.
Oh, not the big push. He wants the big push. Bring up as much backstage stuff as you want, Finn. It's not getting you anywhere currently, is it? You keep hovering around the NXT Championship. Who would you pick for that? We'll talk about it a bit more in a bit, but who would you pick for that four-way match just off the top of your head?
Up until the Ciampa segment, I would go with Balor.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, that's the freshest option. Also, yes, it'd be cool to see NXT strapped to the back of this slightly more vicious Finn. I guess he's a heel. He's not, but maybe he is. He's just a sadistic. He the way he wrestles is so vicious, and it's just like a new side of Finn Balor, and that might be an interesting thing to see. But nah, I want Ciampa, please. I want to see what happens if Ciampa has seen an opportunity to get Goldie back, and it's driven him crazy. And I want to see him get Goldie back and rule the roost with her again.
I think it's a her. It's like, I think championships are like boats. They're always a her.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? Then you'll love No Rolls Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Rolls Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Let's talk. Let's do some quick super chats then. On the subject of the NXT Championship, Bacon Rasher says, afternoon for what is a slightly somber day. Glad my super chats have been noted. Hashtag WrestleLuke forever. Thanks again for the continued great content. Who will Cross regain his title from? Hashtag JTJ. Well, yes, it is a somber day. WrestleLuke is a thing. Luke has taken over, taken control of WrestleTalk clips.
You hate to see it. You hate to see your two dads fight like this.
But yeah, who do you think Cross is going to regain his title from, Adam?
Ciampa, I think. That would kind of... I don't know how long he's going to be gone. Because William Regal was like, we wish him well on his long recuperation. I don't know how long a separated shoulder puts you out for.
I imagine at least six months at least. Yeah, it is really heartbreaking because he was just at the pinnacle of what has been one of the better runs to a championship that NXT, I think, have done. And I was so keen to see champion Karrion Kross like wrecking house in NXT. So yeah, it is a crying shame.
I mean, you talk about a separated shoulder, but also a separated friendship. You see the run of Luke Owen and Ollie Davis, you know, obviously like Jam That Jam won Quizzlemania, then it won at SummerSlam, and
they were tag champs as well.
Can they coexist? Seeing them, their relationship fall apart like this because of, you know, one man's let's just say insecurities. It is a sad day, and all we can do is sort of watch and, you know, obviously, yeah, hashtag justice for Luke.
I've been saying this for a while. People take Quizzlemania far too seriously, and clearly.
It's because of you,
Mr. Davis was taking it too far. Yeah, I was trying to keep things on a level heading. I was just saying, let's not lose our heads about this. It is, after all, just a quiz. But no, it means much. It means so much to so many people, and that can be a corrupting influence. Right. Anyway, Kevin says, I like this. I feel like this is a TEW so far. I don't know, a TEW. That's the online wrestling thing where I just book every big guy NXT into an Iron Man match. I'm so excited for this match. Hashtag we want Luke. Yeah, if you can't have your big hoss fight of Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross at the top of your card anymore, and who better to put into a four-way match than these four previous champions? Like Adam Cole said in this episode, this is the Mount Rushmore of NXT. I'd also like to see the regular Mount Rushmore have a 60-minute Ironman match. Jake Weeks says,
Roosevelt would win that in a bloody heartbeat. Yeah. He used to hunt bears. He's a monster. Someone actually said about Theodore Roosevelt, it was good that death came for him as he slept. If he was awake, there would have been a fight. he's an insane hunter slash toughsman. Anyway.
Jake Weeks asks what our predictions for the NXT title match are. He says Ciampa. I am also leaning very heavily towards Ciampa. I think they had a story with Karrion Kross that they were going to do, and I think this is a fill that gap with another monster heel. Ciampa's taken out of the picture, and I think Ciampa's resurgence to the NXT title was based on taking it off Kross as a babyface. But this is an equally brilliant bit of storytelling if they pull it off.
So I'm guessing I think it's going to be Ciampa, but here's the other way they could do it. They could do Gargano takes it and Ciampa goes after Johnny again. Mm-hmm. We've seen that, and I'm pretty sure
they've been banned from doing that as well. Yeah. Like, you know, Triple H literally said one final beat. It's like, if you ever go at each other again, you're out of the company.
They booked them in this match. Cole's not taking it back so quickly.
No.
No, sir. So that does leave Balor versus Ciampa. And I think the idea that Ciampa, throughout that 60 minutes, feels like Ciampa is going to get it back. I really hope they don't do the Shawn Michaels Bret Hart thing and have it go the full 60 minutes and then no one gets the pin and then someone gets one pin right at the end. If anyone can make that not boring, it's these four guys. But I get the feeling that if they're not going to do Ciampa, Balor will take it and that will send Ciampa even further over the edge. And that's when we get a really, really heated Ciampa-Balor feud. And then maybe you put the belt on Ciampa.
That's a takeover main event if ever I saw one. Oh, I'd love to see that. I'm hoping that this is actually a very hard-fought competition in which there's quite a lot of pinfalls, but everyone just keeps even Stevens towards the end. I don't want anyone lagging behind. These are all amazing guys. I don't think you should do any of the dirt. I just think one guy should come out right at the end on top.
Yeah. It'll be either sudden death or literally like in the last 30 seconds, someone gets a pin.
Yeah, I mean, the NXT is very good at booking these sorts of matches, so I think they'll do well. Like, hopefully it isn't the 2 out of 3 falls, Gargano and Cole, right? Nothing really mattered in the first two falls. It's the last fall where all the good stuff happens. This should be, hopefully, if it's, you know, difficult though, because it's like, it's been booked quite quickly. They must be just having meeting after meeting after meeting about this match. Anyway, let's whiz through the show because Karrion Kross opened the show coming out with the title, making his first appearance after winning the belt, but he's got his arm in a sling because he separated his shoulder. He says that, on the path, there are obstacles, but for me, the obstacles are the path. God help the obstacles that will be in my path when I come back. Tick tock. And then Scarlett turns over the hourglass and he leaves the NXT championship in the middle of the ring. And then Scarlett put her hand on Cross's logo and it burnt in the background. It's cool. It's cool. I don't know what the symbolism of it is really, but it's cool. I liked it.
Her LED magics.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. I quite like the goofy magic of this pair.
It's good. Gosh, Karrion can talk, huh? He's a good talker. I think the pairing of Scarlett, I think if you've never met, if you've never seen Killer Kross, or the other name of his character that I forget, if you'd never seen him before, you might have thought, oh, they put him with Scarlett because he can't talk. Oh, he can.
Yeah, he's got a real gravitas and a real like voice for his character as well. Like it's, he's a total package. This guy, I am really gutted that he got injured because this is one of the best NXT runs that they've had for quite a long time, especially to the championship. Like this is near perfect booking, and it's always terrible when anyone gets injured just at the peak of their powers, like Tommaso Ciampa, for instance. But I'm excited to see what they do with him when he comes back, because I think they are going to push him to the moon, as Cameron Grimes would say.
I'm not going to do it, but yes.
To the moon, Cameron Grimes! Yeehaw! Otherwise, we won't get to do it this episode because he's not in it. Wade Barrett was also back. He was on commentary. Stu, he's great.
Yeah.
He's such a safe pair of hands on commentaries.
I want to point out that WCPW, I think, was the first person to put Stu Bennett behind the commentary table. The legacy lives on.
It will never die. We then got Breezango versus Imperium for the NXT tag champs. Breezango are the serious version of Breezango. They came out. No dancing, no costumes, no silly. This was dancing. Oh, a little bit of dancing. Yeah, but I think that's actually how Fandango's hips move. I think
it's rickets and he's in terrible
pain. he's just got the rhythm within him. This was really good. This was a great little match. The finish I particularly liked, which was they got Breeze up for a European bomb and he popped down. He super kicks Eichner, who was holding him up. He super kicks Bartel as he flies off the top, tags in Dango, who does a double leg drop on both of them and pins, and they win the belts. This was like, this feels like a really good choice if they were looking to get the belts off Imperium very quickly coming out of TakeOver, because I predicted that Phantasma would be the ones to win and get this title match, because I thought they might just do a really silly little tag team championship match, but clearly they wanted to put someone, they want Imperium cooled off of the Undisputed Era thing at some point, or maybe to continue the Balor thing when travel is a bit easier. I don't know, but clearly Imperium were kind of the heater tag team champions for a bit, and hopefully Breezango are going to do something a bit more with that going forward.
Don't think so. I think they're going straight on Legado del Fantasma. I hope not. When I first kind of saw the match, my first reaction was, because I'm a smart who overthinks things, oh no, but Imperium, because Imperium haven't really done anything with the belts. They haven't really had a chance to. They didn't even have a takeover match with the belts. Mm. Poor lads. Which is a shame, because yeah, the tag team championships have suffered probably more than any other championship in COVID, because obviously you didn't get a proper satisfying conclusion to Bros Awaits. Then, you know, Thatcher and him imploded. They didn't have a takeover match either. Imperium got the belt. They didn't have a takeover match. Yeah. So it felt like I was just waiting for at least just one thing to happen with the belts before we switched them. But Breezango also, it's not, you know, I'm just so happy for them.
Yeah.
Such boys. Like you said, I hope they're not just transitional paper face champions in order to facilitate it going on Legado and do the whole, you know, holding all the gold thing. Does kind of feel like that's where it's going. But I am just happy for them, because when they came back to NXT, it did kind of feel like they were veteran jobbers to the stars. And it's nice to see them being recognized as something above that.
Yeah, it was, because I was a bit disappointed when Fandango came out to help Breeze that time, because I thought Breeze was doing brilliant work before that and his singles run when he came back to NXT, readopting the Prince Pretty character properly. And then as soon as Fandango came back, it went straight from sort of being like on the cusp of the veteran who's a bit upset that he's back here and that everyone else has been sort of stealing his thunder and ready to prove himself, and then it sort of just went straight back into like costumes and dancing. So like, even this version of Breezango I'm happier with, where it's a bit more, they're just that little bit more serious. And obviously that the story they seem to be telling with NXT is that little bit more serious has paid off, because they've got this big win now. Like, you know, the one time you don't come out as an astronaut, you get to have the belt. So like, let's move forward with that, because I do think they're a good choice. I think they are a good draw. It's a shame that Imperium haven't got to do anything, but clearly they don't like really doing anything with Imperium without Walter there leading the charge, which is fine. You know, Eichner and Bartel just really weren't given time to shine, and that is a bit of a shame. But I'm hoping that once Imperium can all get back together, they're going to get a really big push as well. After that, we saw Damian Priest interviewed backstage, swigging some champagne, still on the party from winning the North American title, which I really enjoyed. Timothy Thatcher show.
I don't remember this being his gimmick. But
man party, yeah.
He's sort of the new Adam Rose, but with like hot tubs instead of buses.
Yeah, and then so Timothy Thatcher then showed up and said, it's embarrassing the way that Priest is treating the belt, celebrating having it. I don't know what Thatcher's problem was here, but he says he should get the first shot. Damian Priest says that he is, well, Thatcher accused him of being ill-equipped to be the champion. And Damian says, I think I'm very equipped indeed. Pats the belt and then walks off, swigging some more champagne. What a life. If this is all you had to do after your big takeover match, you'd be like, well, we jumped off ladders, we did all this cool stuff. Here's how you get to appear for just one episode of NXT. It's like, I just get to drink. Okay, I'll do that. Happy. Off I go. We then...
Harry Cross is just furious in the parking lot, just looking at him being like...
Yeah.
Slash his tires.
He's probably on some killer painkillers, so I'm sure he's fine. We then got Jake Atlas versus Tommaso Ciampa, which we've already discussed. We then got a little package about Candice LeRae and Tegan Nox's friendship. This was all from the perspective of Candice. Obviously, Tegan last week said she wanted to reach out, extend the olive branch to Candice and be like, hey, friend, let's be friends again, friend. And I thought this was really well put together, because there was a lot of like clearly like home footage of them doing stuff together and being chums. And this did more to build them as friends than any of their appearances on TV ever did. And I really liked this. And I liked the idea that, you know, she said that Tegan doesn't get me anymore. Where was she when I needed her? Sometimes you just need to be selfish, because Tegan could come down this path with me, but she's choosing not to. this was fine build to obviously what feels like a little bit of spinning wheels for Candice LeRae, who should be achieving more in NXT, I think. I think she's got one of the more interesting gimmicks with the Gargano Way stuff currently in the women's division. But clearly you've got a lot of really big talent at the top.
The whole photos thing doesn't, like, you know, oh, she took me to a castle once and stuff. Like, the found footage element of it doesn't really do anything for me. That, for me, is NXT telling me how I should feel rather than kind of making me feel it. It's, like, that kind of stuff works really well when you've got a bit more, like, with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Like, you felt like when, literally, he came in, and like he came in as Sammy's friend, like they told that story going and like hugged him, being the first person, you know, to genuine tears in the eyes and stuff. And then after the feud, they then explained, they went into the richer, deeper backstory with all this, you know, video footage and photos and stuff. It does feel like they're trying to prop up a filler feud. Like, fine, you know, it's you know, it is better than nothing. But I would prefer to see the match sooner rather than later, I guess.
Yeah, I want Candice to be moving up the card in. I think she's well overdue something near the top of that division, because she has been the jobber to the stars, like you said, of everyone else. And she has been rent-a-friend for so many people that I think it's time for her to cut the wall loose and really, like, make something of that. But, you know, Tegan Nox versus Candice LeRae, I'm sure it's going to be a good match. And yeah. A little bit more drama and spice added to it can not be a bad thing. We then got Bronson Reed interviewed backstage, and he said the only person who's actually beaten Damian Priest, so maybe he should be getting that title shot. Austin Theory then wanders in from nowhere. Austin Theory, who disappeared off TV and reportedly suspended for unknown reasons. So he's back now, but he's not on Raw anymore. He's back in NXT. He says... you know, he says, well done on getting into that ladder match. You know, me at 22, I managed to make it to WrestleMania. So that's quite impressive. You know, if you keep chasing that star, man, maybe when you're 55 years old, you'll be a champion. And Bronson just goes, 55? Bosh. Oh, I'm getting hit with a massive wet fish. It was a heck of a slap. Mm.
Yes, it was. Hi, Austin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Hi. Hello. It feels like you should have always been here. Why did they trick you into coming to the main roster then with the promise of riches? No, it's good to have you back here. Like, I still have no idea who Austin Theory is.
No.
Like, I didn't really get a good idea when he was on Raw, and he kind of bypassed NXT in its entirety. So I am just looking forward to a lovely little NXT.
His gimmick
video
is like
package.
Space or something, is it? I don't know. Like,
is it
Bill Nye the Science Guy? What's his gimmick? Like, it's something to do with the theory. So I think his gimmick is basically that he's young and cocky, clearly. But
theory. It could be demons, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
Sorry. Bit of Buffy. She keeps coming up today. We then got Mia Yim versus Shotzi Blackheart. That wasn't the original intended match. This match was intended to be Mia Yim versus Mercedes Martinez. But as the match begins, well, as Mia comes out, Robert Stone comes out, little gold chains holding up his glasses. Like, he's like douchebag Buckaroo at this point. They just add another trinket to him every week to make him look like an idiot. He says that what do you think after last week? Like, there's no way I would let Mercedes Martinez come out and have this match with you. And as he's chatting, Shotzi runs him over with a tank again.
What is going on?
They need to get a green cross code for the ramp in NXT. That's what they need to do. They need to get a stop, look, listen. Where's the hedgehogs? Where's the hedgehog campaign for the NXT rampway?
Oh, Joe, that made me cry, and it still does. When he just curls up in a little... No, so I'm thinking of... I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of Animals of Farlingwood.
Oh, yeah, but Animals of Farlingwood made everyone cry. You'd have to be soulless to watch
don't
that.
Don't curl up. And curled up and he got run over. Anyway,
the Robert Stone of hedgehogs. It was.
It's a plastic tank.
It is.
It's
plastic. Tank.
You can see that it's plastic. Oh, it's fine. Like, it's like, this is the daftest thing on NXT. Still, I loved Wade Barrett's reaction to it. What the bloody hell kind of place you're running here? That tank. Bloody hell! What's going on? is this NXT? This is not the show I used to be watching. Watching him get a little bit kind of flabbergasted by it. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. He got run over by a tank. Like, the tank went up the middle of his leg. So the wheels didn't even touch him. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, and that, for some reason, that means Shotzi's in the match instead.
Shotzi? Beating Mia Yim clean? What's this whole segment?
Yeah, I know. This was...
Not to cut the end. But
this, like... this was really fun, though, as well. Like, they were... I loved when they'd had that. They had a great sequence of stuff where Mia hits a Hurricanrana, and then like Shotzi's running off the rope. She slides under a kick, and then she pops up, hits a Hurricanrana of her own. Then they both catch each other's legs, put them down, and there's this brief moment of like respect between the two of them as they sort of smile. And then Shotzi does her wolf howl, and Mia just punches her in the throat. Now, you've gone too far. Now you're being annoying. It ends with Shotzi Blackheart hitting the huge senton from the top and beating Mia Yim clean.
Yeah, fine. In terms of making your division a little deeper, yes, sure, that makes sense. Shotzi's great. I like her presence on NXT. She's got an interesting look. She's got an interesting, like, she does some stuff that other people don't do, namely tank vehicular homicide. It feels fake, her beating Mia Yim. Now, I know wrestling is fake, but like it doesn't feel credible, because they didn't tell a story that Mia Yim was distracted, you know, by Keith Lee, you know, being up to the main roster and stuff. Like they mentioned a little bit that, oh, Mia's husband isn't around anymore, but that didn't really factor into the match. And it's like Shotzi's still got a little bit of that waiting for her next spot energy in the ring. Like she'll do a move and then she'll just sort of wait for Mia to be ready, and then they'll start the next sequence. Like she hasn't quite, and I feel like a complete dick commenting on that aspect of the wrestling, but like she doesn't quite have the kind of the seamless transitions stuff. She's still, you know, green in a lot of ways. Like, it, you know, she's still improving in the ring, which makes her beating Mia Yim clean with sort of no fanfare and no real psychological or kind of narrative reason for doing so feel fake. And like, it feels like that's a weird thing to complain about. But like, I just feel more sorry for Mia than anything else.
Yeah, she seems a bit lost at the moment, Mia Yim. Like, they don't really know what they want to do with her. Like, I think the being dragged into the Yimitless stuff did the same sort of work that it did for Candice, I think, when Johnny was in the championship picture. That it sort of pigeonholes the women who get involved in like these multiple feuds that are going on in the men's side, because they just end up sort of lost. And like, clearly this win is setting Shotzi up to be involved with Robert Stone brand going forward. And probably as they continue that story with Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez, like Shotzi's going to be in Rhea's corner. You know, they are into the same sort of music, so that's fine. So they can be friends. I think I kind of agree that Shotzi's probably a little bit greener than her position in the roster currently shows. But you go with what's popular, and I do think Shotzi's pretty popular. Like, she's got a very she's got a very interesting, different look and vibe, and I think she, you know, it's hard to tell if she gets the crowd going when they're all at home. But I think when there was a crowd in the arena, like all of her antics and all of her like wolf howls and welcome to the ball pit stuff is popular. So I think I think she's definitely got presence about her, and sometimes that's kind of more lucrative than being a gifted, fluid wrestler in that same sense. Not that she's not a gifted wrestler, but she's not a particularly like fluid wrestler. Mia Yim is definitely on the sort of fluid end of that spectrum, and maybe should be. I just wonder what they're going to do with Mia now, because...
Oh, hang on.
Go on.
We have someone in the chat.
See hey, you Luke. All at pay. Hi, Luke.
Hi, mate.
My wages are getting docked the more I talk about him.
I'm just going to take that away just because I'm not sure Mr. Davis will be watching this, but
yeah, it's got just, eyes everywhere.
Just want to say, we'll talk in code. Obviously, like, we hope that our lucrative friend is doing well. We hope to see our lucrative friend again sometime soon.
Because we owe in him so much.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hashtag support Luko. Okay. Right. What's the next bit?
What was next was Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez were interviewed ahead of their match later in the night against Rhea Ripley. And he's forgotten already who Rhea was teaming with. Just checks his notes. Io Shirai, obviously.
NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. My brain just broke there. We talked too much in code and I was doing it in pig Latin in my head. So they said that they were going to win the match because they're a team and Io and Rhea aren't, because fact is Rhea wants what Io's got and she knows that. And then, she says, Kai says that she deserves to be the NXT Women's Champion. And Raquel Gonzalez says, Rhea, you messed up by getting in my face. And it was like, sort of hanging sentence where you're like, and because, and then she just walked off. And I was like, okay, fine, that's fair.
Raquel's got one line. She's got line.
I like the fact that she's unambitious. It's great. Like, you know, she doesn't want anything from life, Raquel. She just wants to help Dakota Kai do stuff. That's great. I think, you know, what does Dakota Kai have over Raquel Gonzalez is what I want to find out. What is fueling that?
There's
a burn book somewhere or other. So then we got William Regal coming out, and he announced the 60-minute Iron Man match between Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, and Finn Balor.
Johnny Gargano.
Gargano and Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. I love that he's the only person in the world. Not even Finn pronounces his name like that. And it's his name. And Finn Balor.
he was just giving it some juice was Regal. He wanted to make it sound better than it he wanted to make it sound good, and he made it sound good. It sounds good. One of my notes is just eff a duck, I want this. Like I'm this is my new thing now. I just want 60-minute Iron Man matches with these four guys. Like, this is, I'll give up everything else. I'm just going to become a hermit, like a minimalist hermit, except for a TV that plays 60-minute Iron Man matches between these guys. Because this is, for a Tuesday night, it's a big Tuesday, Super Tuesday.
Best thing I can say about it is, like, that this match, God, it makes you and I feel we're the lucky ones in terms of, like, we get to watch it and, like, analyze it in detail and... Like, we get to be paid to watch this episode of NXT. What lucky boys.
I know. And then on Monday, those guys have to watch Raw Underground, is it? Sucks to be you. Jokers. Having your in-house feuds.
I am turning my phone off Wednesday morning. I will be getting up early. Because obviously we've got a morning meeting in Wrestle Talk. Turning my phone off. I'm getting up early and I'm watching NXT, and not even watching it in 1.5 speed, which is what we sometimes do in order to get through it and maximize our use of the day. I'm watching this in one speed.
In glorious normal motion.
Yes. I'm getting all 60 minutes in real time.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got some bad news, something that's going to be disappointing and disappointing your fans who've been invested in a storyline you've been telling going forward. This is a way to get people back on board with your championship picture. This is a way to go like, yeah, okay, so I'm like, crosses out. That is really sad news for everyone. And he's a major talent. We were pinning the hopes of the future on NXT on him for the next 6 months, at least, most likely. But you know what's good about NXT? There's a load of the guys from the past here. There's four of them and they're bloody amazing. And one of them's got a white hot heel turn to going into this match as well. So like, yeah, I am so, so keen for this. And yeah, I'm leaning heavily towards Ciampa for the victory here. Which makes me think they're going to swerve that and go with Balor. But yeah, that would also be fine because I think he would do wonders with the belt as well. I think there's so many stories that can come out of any of these four guys winning the championship. And so, yeah, like we were discussing earlier a little bit, that this feels like a bit of a hard reset for NXT. And it really does feel like a sea change of like, this is who's important. This is what they're going for. This is what they're after. This episode did wonders, I think, setting everyone up post-takeover to be like, this is what, you know, this is where we're, this is the roadmap that we've got going forward.
Especially when you consider, obviously, that the head writer of NXT has resigned his position. So like there are new creatives in charge. And it does, yeah, like you don't normally expect a changing of the guard to come with such a clunk of a shift, but that is sort of the cards they've been dealt with carrying crosses in.
Yeah, you can't exactly easily get round Karrion Kross with a separated shoulder, because you can't have him beaten for the belt even in a shock match. He has to just give the thing up, which is crying shame. We then got Santos Escobar, Cruiserweight Champion, versus Swerve Scott in a title match. This was awesome. This was really, really good. This is kind of the match I've wanted to see Escobar in for a while as well, like mostly one-on-one. Like a lot of his matches have relied very heavily on the fact that he's got a whole team behind him, helping him out, and that they helped him out here for sure. But the rest of, like, there was a good long stretch of match where he was just being brilliant against Swerve Scott. And Swerve Scott got a lot of great offense in here too. Like, his picture perfect Fosbury flop over the top rope is just something else. It is unreal, that move. And then there were loads of close twos. This was that cruiserweight match that just comes out like and just goes, oh yeah, you weren't expecting to like love this, but here it is. Here's something that you've got, they've done a great job of building Scott and Escobar, but the cruiserweight division always feels like very low down the roster, and then they just do something incredible every single time they come out, and you're like, oh yeah, everyone should really be watching 205 Live.
I want to throw a quick kind of shout out to his tweaked version of a gory special. It wasn't even like a major part, like they basically did the gory special, but he had kind of both shoulder blades like around like kind of one side of the head, so it kind of was like even more constricted, so it looked like a kind of combination of a Rings of Saturn and a gory special. And it wasn't even like, it lasted for like a few seconds, maybe 10 seconds, and then that was in onto the next bit of the match. I was like, that was cool, let's focus more on that. But yeah, there's a lot in this match. The leaping flatliner was great, the kind of springboard Hurricane Rana into a kind of power bomb, which didn't look clean, but that was kind of cool about it as well.
Yeah, I loved Escobar just chucking Swerve off the apron. When Swerve jumps out to the outside to run up and do his like kick, Escobar just grabs him and just goes into the barricade, and it, like, Swerve, bless his heart, just lobbed himself into it. He was like, nope, fine, we'll work out the landing when we hit, I guess. It didn't look very safe, but I think that's what made it look so dramatic. And then he dumps him into the steps, and that's really what gives him the advantage early on. Yeah, and then there was this huge gut-wrench German suplex, and he called for the house call. It got really, really close too. And then he hits his inverted finish. And then that's when Santos like managed to get the bottom rope. He rolled out, put on a lucha mask, and then he headbutted Swerve, who got KO'd. Before all that, actually, also the rest of Legado del Fantasma ran out for a brief bit of, yeah, and Breezango came out and dragged them away. So it seems like they're keeping Breezango and Fantasma feuding, and probably keep Swerve Scott in the mix.
I should hope so. They kidnapped Fandango. I don't know what they did with him, but they put him in a car. I love this. If it's what I think it is, that it's a loaded mask. That would be so cool. It smells like William Regal. And I think Wade Barrett even put over the phrase, the power of the mask. I just love, like, that's the kind of stuff in wrestling that I just go wild for, is like metaphorical violence. And the idea of, you know, him taking off the mask because it disrespects Lucha, and then putting the mask on, but it's also a weapon. So he uses...
Yeah, like, he definitely tapped the middle bit for a bit before he headbutted him, just checking it was in the right place. So it does seem like there's probably a metal plate or something in there.
That's so great. Just like the bastardization of Lucha and using it to destroy his enemies. Like, great. New as well. Like, good stuff. Like, I thought when Legado came out, they were just going to be just like, oh, they caused a distraction, that's a three. But no, there's another weapon in Escobar's arsenal,
and it plays so well into the story they've been telling with, you know, Legado del Fantasma as well. I just think it's going to be going forward. I hope they keep using that spot for a while, because I think they could do some really fun storytelling with the mask. It's
got the brass knucks and the brass mask.
Yeah, the head of God or whatever it's called. Johnny Gargano had a little promo after that, and he said he was going to rule NXT, but he was thinking about it because last week he came so close to breaking his neck. He said it's time to remind everyone just who he is, because he is the Iron Man of NXT and has been for years. Good little promo. We then got a Finn Balor one that followed up, and he says life comes full circle in this business. All the pieces are set. The four cornerstones of NXT are set for the match. However, I'm not a cornerstone. I'm the centerpiece. Everyone is going to get what they want, including the trolls at home. Finn Balor with the NXT title. Yet more. Finn Balor needs to do like a Masked Magician style series talking about NXT and like a peek behind the curtain. There was a wrestling one of that as well, but the Secrets of Wrestling. But yeah.
Did you know that they slap their leg when they do a super kick?
I did.
The push.
The push. He's great, and it's this is all good stuff. Because, ooh, crumbs. That was intimate. We then got Kyle O'Reilly versus Drake Maverick. I liked the description of Drake Maverick as more guts than brains. This is good stuff. Drake had thrown out the challenge to the Undisputed Era, saying that, like, I don't care which one of you answers the call. I just want one of you in the ring after what you did to me, beating me up after the match with Killian Dane. Kyle O'Reilly answered the challenge, but it came out with Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. Drake attacked very early, nailing O'Reilly with some knees and did the flip senton onto Fish and Strong on the outside. Wade Barrett was just on commentary, healing it up, saying that, like, oh yeah, he's really reminded of the Nexus by Undisputed Era, but the difference is I never respected anyone underneath me in the Nexus, which I thought was quite fun. Maverick goes up for this big sliced bread, but when he lands, his feet buckles. And then Kyle just wraps him up. And they've been playing up the knee for a little bit in the match. Kyle wraps him up in this like heel hook that looked, one, inescapable, and two, utterly, utterly vicious. This was like peak Kyle O'Reilly. I loved this.
Oh God, I'm so happy.
It seems like your prediction might be coming true as well.
Well, right? It looks like they're going face with him, right? They didn't do the thing that they should have done. No, they shouldn't have done it. Take over. But yeah, Kyle O'Reilly singles push. I'm so here for it. I can't wait. Yeah, so obviously after the match, he didn't do anything like kind of evil during the match. He's just vicious. He's just a
tight one. He zeroed in on the leg after the like a little injury and just started nailing it with kicks and stuff.
Yeah, and just, oh my God. So yeah, after the match, Undisputed Era start attacking Drake Maverick, and he's just like, what are you doing? Like, he doesn't stop him. Like, he does stop him a little bit. He pushes him off, but he doesn't get, like, it's not full face turn. We're going a little slowly with it. But yeah, he didn't get involved.
And they got a chair and stuff. He didn't. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. So excited. So excited.
But then, this is all happening. And then Killian Dane is actually the one who runs down to the ring past O'Reilly, who's kind of got out of the way. And he attacks, he runs off Strong and Fish, and O'Reilly was on the apron for a second, and he just backs off. And then Drake's like, oh, thanks, mate. And then walks forward, and Dane just nails him too with a big clothesline. He just, boop! Misplaced emotions! Bam!
You want to say, Dane is in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. Look at the guy. He's looking trim AF. Well done, sir. Yes. There's colorful characters in the NXT world. I saw a comment scrolling past that Drake Maverick's going back to being a jobber. I think that's a very harsh summation of what we've seen. He's a smaller wrestler and is an underdog because of it. And there is no shame in being tapped out by Kyle O'Reilly.
Not with that move as well. That looked horrible. I wouldn't want that.
And then he got in a lot of offense early on. Like, he was taking out all of the Undisputed Era at one point. He got his shine.
Yeah, I think Drake is in a holding pattern until they want to send him up against Escobar again. Like, you can't. We were we were saying when he was first coming out and getting in Escobar's face that it was foolish of him to continually run into a 3-on-1 attack. So I think they need to sort of cool that off for a bit, do some other stuff with Escobar, let Legado del Fantasma build a bit more momentum, And then you bring Drake in and be like, this guy again, is he absolutely nuts? And this time when he's nuts, he's also right. And he starts to build his way up to win the Cruiserweight Championship, because that is going to be the comeback story that you want to culminate with the Cruiserweight title.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see in the meantime, though. I would actually really like to. It's a shame that the clothesline happened, because I thought the team of Dane and Drake, that's a cool little team. Just like, you know, little and large, just like, you know, the clever henchman and the hulking henchman, you know. So it's such a well-worn
call Drake the clever henchman. let's run in there and get ourselves overpowered by the numbers game.
Here goes nothing. it's brilliant. I hope that Drake tries to kind of bury the hatchet with Dane, and they do it like an Enzo and Cass thing, where he carries around Drake on his shoulder, just chucks him at people.
He'll wear him down by getting beat up. I think he might, like, eventually Dane will tire of beating up Drake Maverick, who keeps coming out to say thank you. And yeah, maybe they could do a little team up. I quite like that. It's definitely something for Drake to do, and I think Dane has also been a bit listless in NXT for a while, so they could make a really good on-screen pairing. We then got Rhea Ripley backstage talking about her match, saying that if Raquel Gonzalez wants me to shut up, why doesn't she make me? Fine, fine, fine. Adam Cole says the Mount Rushmore of NXT is in the match next week. A match like this is right up my alley, because I'm the Iron Man of NXT, which is fair enough, mate. You probably are. We then got Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, our main event. By the time we got here, I think I sort of had reveal surprise fatigue, and I was kind of like, what more could they possibly do? Because, like, before I even watched NXT, I'd be obviously like popped on Twitter and seen people talking about it. I hadn't seen every possible reveal and stuff, and people at work have been saying, well, it sounded like a crazy show last night. And I was like, well, this has happened, and this has happened, and this has been announced, and that's quite crazy. Is there something else? And then I kind of got to the end of this match, and I was like, oh, there wasn't. It felt like, it almost felt like this wasn't greedy. Yeah, no, but I feel like this was almost overshadowed by some of the stuff that had come before it, and so it didn't necessarily feel like what I would have done as the show closer, but I get the wanting to end on a match. It was a very good match, though.
I think they should have ended on Ciampa.
Yeah.
I think they should have ended on Ciampa, especially considering that I think they should have done the Iron Man announcement. Then everyone could have cheered that Ciampa was in it, and then Ciampa comes out, and because he knows that he has an opportunity to get the NXT champion, that is what makes him fully embrace the kind of, I need to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I need this. And I think that story might have been better, because he can't, I don't know if you can top that Ciampa heel turn.
No, so, and they, yeah, I think they did that at the end of the first hour. So they kind of, I guess they knew that's when they like to also put a big moment, but I think that moment just overshadowed the rest of the show. It was so powerful. This was really good, though. Like, this was a really fun match. I loved Dakota Kai at the beginning of the match, when Gonzalez was like squaring up to everyone in the ring, and she was just behind her, just going, like, puffing her chest out, getting in their faces. And yeah, this was kind of that match where they were trying to keep the two Goliaths from colliding, and they just did that. They worked around it so well. You know, there was this brief moment in the beginning where Rhea Ripley starts off against Kai, and she starts beating Kai, and she just picks Kai up and just throws her into her own corner and tells Gonzalez to tag in. Gonzalez tags in, they get up in each other's faces, there's a headbutt, and then Gonzalez pushes her and she flops back into her own corner. Io tags in, and she was like, what? You got to be kidding me. Brilliant, like, that's great tag team chemistry stuff. Io was brilliant when she was going on at both of them. And like, she did this great bit where she had Gonzalez in the corner down, and she had Kai hung up on the ropes, and she hits the double knees into Gonzalez, bounces right back off and runs straight into the tiger faint kick. It was a really well-booked match. It was really, really fun. I like the fact that Dakota Kai didn't look lost in it. Like, you know, I think with the level of talent that there was in this match and the way they present Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley specifically, it would have been very easy for Kai to have been the fourth wheel here and just been chucked around a lot. But she got in some really good offense, and she was very sneaky and very clever. I really, really enjoyed this. And then the end was where it started to get a little bit more confusing, because there was a tag made to Io from Rhea. I know Rhea tagged. Yeah, so Shirai tags in Rhea, but Kai has taken the referee, so he misses the tag. And as Rhea steps in, he pushes her back out. And so they're sort of double teaming Io Shirai. As this is happening, Mercedes Martinez runs down, grabs Rhea, pulls her off the apron, and she donks ahead. But that's not the end. That was like just that was just another bump in the road on the way. I thought that would sort of be like that'd be it, and then Shirai would get her, you know, she'd get powerbombed and that'd be the finish. She gets powerbombed and that isn't the end. They manage to get a hot tag, and as Rhea steps in, you're like, cool, this is it. She's gonna make her big comeback here. But it was like, oh no, it's quite clear she's not a well woman after falling off the apron there. No. Because Gonzalez just like grabbed her and was like, one arm powerbomb, and that was it. I think it was a cool finish. They did like it got a bit confusing towards the end, but I think they laid it out well enough that all those moments where they false sort of it was like a false finish after false finish, I was just along for the ride because I really did think at multiple occasions that they'd lost to Gonzalez and Kai, and they just kicked out just enough, and they were just building enough momentum, and then like that choice to put Rhea back in to take the pin from Gonzalez was a stroke of genius, because I really did think they were just going to do like Rhea Ripley, she could put people in the bin when she wants to, she could do whatever she wants, like she's just going to easily conquer Gonzalez here, and she just walks right into that one arm powerbomb. And I am hoping that what they're building to now is Martinez and Ripley and Gonzalez, because I thought Gonzalez looked absolutely brilliant and brutal in this match. She's really come into her own, and yeah, I'm excited that there is that level of sort of magnitude and power in the women's division with Rhea and Gonzalez and Martinez. Like they feel like legit monsters. They're
good
awesome.
Old NXT, not afraid to beat Rhea. Really, really happy about that. Especially when there's a reason for it. This is something that I think I get so frustrated with on the main roster, is that you don't have to protect everyone if you book cleverly. Like you can beat people if there's a reason for it. And yet Rhea got beaned by someone that she was in a feud with already. And then she got overconfident. And I thought, like on the main roster, Rhea would just come in, overcome the odds, and still get the pin despite the interference from
the Roman Reigns booking, my friend.
Roman Reigns. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. That's just like, Rhea's a superstar. But she got pinned by someone who is comparatively greener because of circumstance. And Raquel looks a lot better now because of it. And Rhea doesn't lose anything because she got attacked. It's great. It is certainly not as flashy as a lot of the rest of the episode of NXT, but it's really solid and it's clever and it's built like there's sharks are circling Io Shirai now.
Oh, yeah, it's so many sharks.
She is caught in a kind of a like a three-way kind of like hoss fight that's just all like if the match,
she's the hedgehog.
If the match is Io versus Rhea versus Gonzalez versus Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, no. I feel bad for Io there.
Oh, I'm here for it. I would do that because Io can win that. And like she could pin, you know, Raquel Gonzalez, who could lose because miscommunication with her and Kyla. There's loads of ways to think yourself out of these matches, but you get to see more of Rhea, more of Mercedes, which everyone wants. And Raquel gets to be elevated by association as well. Well done, NXT.
Yeah, this was a clunky gear shift for NXT just because they've actually done a very good job building to TakeOver 30 of sort of giving us an idea of where they were going to go. But I love the reframing of certain characters. I love the fact that like we're going to have a new champion next week. We've got new champions this week. And it feels like, you know, that tag division is going to get elevated by having Breezango as the champs and hopefully get a bit more shine and a bit more time on TV. And they can start to make some proper stars there again. The four guys in that NXT championship match next week, a 60-minute Iron Man match, which I don't know how the hell you would book, but I'm sure they're going to nail it. I cannot wait to see. I'm so excited to watch Super Tuesday of NXT. The women's match was brilliant. Really, really built really nicely. Cruiserweight championship match, also brilliant, also going places. Legado del Fantasma are fantastic. Just what an episode of NXT. The only thing that was missing was the North American title picture, really, from like in rings. Hell,
Laurie, you hate everything. Constant negativity.
I know.
Talking about NXT. You've always got some little horrible little comments. Here. Why can't you just enjoy wrestling, mate? Why can't you just? It's so negative. Like, oh,
yeah,
where's the thumbs down button? I cannot put up with all this negativity in my wrestling criticism from these journalists. Sorry.
What did you think of the episode, ball bag?
I just saw a comment on like last week's video saying Adam C is determined to get these videos downvoted. Like, well, maybe that will be my gimmick. down from the inside. Loved it. Really, really good. Like NXT is normally as solid as the main event was, but this week was a special, like, you know, a bunch of different things collided. They were unopposed against AEW. Hi, AEW, if you're in the chat, by the way, we think you're great, especially Laurie. And especially me.
Cowards for not putting a show on this week. Absolute cowards. Didn't want to see what the ratings were like on WrestleTalk when NXT goes up against AEW. That's why. Scared.
Okay. Oh, please don't be in the chat. But they ran unopposed. There was a big change in head of creative. Their top champion is out. So loads of things combined to create generally one of the most remarkable episodes of NXT of the year.
It was so packed full of stuff. Yeah. If you watch one NXT this year, watch this one because it was so good. But also watch all of them and then watch us talk about them because that's how we make our living. So yeah. NXT, very good. Let's do some super chats. Bacon Rasher comes back in and says, thought my notebook was covered in water spots, but turns out you lads not keeping the background clean. Cross to win it back versus Demon Finn for me. This is actually printed on the background. That's the little peek behind the curtain. I'm equally annoyed by how that is printed on the background as you are. I wonder if I don't think the demon needs to return. I think the demon's almost too hokey for this version of Finn Balor. Like he doesn't need to go to that dark place because he now lives there 24/7 because he wants to push the big push.
The big push.
Oh, God, it's horrible. Oh, absolutely gross. Scott Young says, do you think this is a good chance to put Cross straight to the main roster and not return to NXT? Maybe a Rumble win? Yeah, I guess so. Like, I mean, I feel like that's a blessing and a curse, obviously, going up to the main roster where he'll be the Cross Experience or whatever he's called. it's fine. I'll keep making that joke about everyone. I think he's someone they definitely would look to put on the main roster. There was always that news when he was coming in that they said they were going to fast track him. And we found out that the fast track was basically immediately inserting him into the NXT championship picture. I think it would be wasted to move him straight to the main roster. I would like to see him come back on NXT and win the championship. And I would like to see what they thought they were going to do with him in the first place. Because it feels almost like it would be the same case of like if Ciampa never got the title back and Johnny and Ciampa never finished their feud and stuff like it. It just feels like I've invested a lot as a viewer. They've invested a lot of time making the TV show tell that story, and leaving that thread dangling would just be sad, really. Even if he would smash up the main roster, which I'm sure he would do. Bonzo for Life says Cross could be Lesnar 2.0. Good look, limited moveset. Do you concur?
Don't know. I honestly don't feel like we've seen all of Cross. I don't think we saw all of him in that Keith Lee match. I think the injury kind of put pay to that. So jury's still out, but the dude's a presentation. That's the thing. He is a fully formed character. And if he is limited in the ring, which I haven't seen necessarily a conclusive evidence of, he's still got one of the most striking gimmicks in worldwide wrestling, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Detrain 24 says, support Wrestle Luke. I think with the injury, Ciampa will win. He's the NXT version of Roman. Something goes wonky given the belt to course correct. I think Ciampa's a really smart choice for this. I think I just wonder, yeah, like I said earlier, I think I wonder if the big heel turn for Ciampa is to make him sort of a, a mini cross almost, so they can continue with the plans they had going forward, because, you know, promises would have been made to people about where their storylines are going. And if Cross goes out, then you throw a load of story out the window. So I imagine they can keep a lot of that stuff if you've got big Monster Heel Tommaso Ciampa running the division. Mike D says, I prefer Ciampa to get the belt after last night, but if Balor takes it, or Baylor takes it, imagine Cross versus the Demon when Cross comes back from injury. Yes, please. We kind of covered that already a little bit, but yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Cross versus the Demon. I think the collision of those gimmicks would work really well. I just don't think the Demon is where Finn Balor's head is at right now.
I think that's the thing. I think we will see the Demon on NXT again, but I think absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think he's going to resist it until literally he needs that nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, Demon Balor versus Cross.
Demon Balor comes out, all of his spots written up his arms so you can read them all. This is how he reveals what's behind the curtain. The mask, obviously, the mask magician. Face paint stuff. Mr. M.A. Campbell says, love the fact that Breeze is a double champion. I'm assuming this is being the left-right champion and the tag champ.
I think he's the up-down champion.
Is he? Okay.
Mm.
Mm. He's one of those champions. Yes. Levante Rogers says, also for Super Tuesday, the first hours before the main event should be a series of matches ranging from 10 to 15 minutes and the other time for TV ads. I think, yeah, I would quite like a just balls to the wall, like, here is just a bunch of really good wrestling. And then, oh yeah, if you like that wrestling, here's 60 minutes of really good wrestling. That would be ace.
I'll take a full hour of Shaq-a-roni adverts in the first hour of NXT if I get no commercial interruptions in the Iron Man match. I know I won't get that, but I'm willing to watch all that horrible cricket wireless nonsense where Charlotte is running around after a jelly bean or some other.
Tell me about vapes.
Yeah.
And how bad they are for me. That's what I want to know. MTB Payback says, Plumpy, will Damien Priest be a dominant North American champion?
Leaving me out of the... Breeze is the left-right champion. I do apologize, Laurie.
Booyah.
I can't do that.
Just, you've got to let it go floppy.
Done it.
Good. Okay. Do you think Priest is going to be a dominant North American champion? Because that was... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to beat Thatcher. Gosh, he's got a sexy voice.
Mm.
And I know about having a sexy voice. Yeah, I'm totally up for...
You've got a Tory voice is what you've got.
There are some sexy Tories. I'm not a Tory. I am not a Tory. Also, there are no sexy Tories.
It doesn't exist. It's an oxymoron. Kevin says, I'm going to miss the refs carrying a Regal Zoom call. I totally am going to miss the refs carrying the little Robo Regal around. That was one of the better things we got in lockdown, actually. Here's some WrestleTalk miscellaneous super chats. Jobber JJ says, Mr. Davis knows best. Iron Man match will be fire. Emoji.
Wow.
So lit, I'm assuming. Yeah. Mr. Davis knows best.
We are contractually obliged to agree.
Mm-hmm. And we'll say no more. Jeremy Bauman says, Luke World Order is coming. Hashtag LWO invades WrestleTalk. Maybe.
Maybe.
I think Mr. Davis, sorry, not Ollie Davis. Mr. Davis is trying his hardest to, shore up our defenses. The great firewall of WrestleTalk is being assembled as we speak in order to keep the Luke World Order out. Axe Adapter says, hashtag justice for Luke, down with Davis. We cannot endorse that statement. Mm-hmm. Rich McCann says, Adam, love you. Laurie, love you. Adam, please start a board game channel. Tried Unmatched, loved it. Have you ever played Disney Villainous?
Aha! Ho-ho! Literally got it for my birthday. Here it is. It's delightfully looking. Anyway, I've heard a lot of people say it's really great. You get to play as different Disney villains, like trying to execute your own little schemes, but you're playing as people and they'll try and stop you, and you're trying to kind of amass power, and like it's got loads of really cool art from the Disney films in it. Can't wait. And starting a board game channel. That's an interesting one.
That is a good idea. Rich McCann also asks if there's going to be any more explained. He says he loved the Poison Mist episodes. You're in luck, because next week we're starting Explained again. Season 2 begins when Luke's Is Actually Good series ends. So it'll be coming.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Rest in peace, Luke.
Well, we've got his last one, so yeah, that's it. It's gonna have to take the spot.
I mean, I told Ollie I thought it was a bit, you know, kind of it's not quite right to use it when Luke's gone, but Ollie says, you know, he paid Luke for the filming time, so that belongs to him. So
we are putting out is Vince McMahon actually good? And then next week, season two of Explained is going to start, and I'll reveal more on Twitter, I guess, as to what's going to be in each episode. JC20 says, join the Wrestle Talk order with Mr. Davis. We've had to. We are card-carrying Wrestle Talkers. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam, says, Luke to AEW YouTube channel confirmed. Hashtag justice for Luke. Not after what we said on NXT last week. Obviously, we've cut ties with AEW. Glass Frame says...
We've cut ties with AEW. Yep.
We were both on screen at the same time, Adam. We are both equally responsible for what has happened. Glass Frame says, will either of you be applying for the job of Mr. Davis's best friend now that there's a vacancy? I definitely will be applying for the Luke vacancy, having had prior experience. My CV is obviously full of being a Luke, so... Yeah, I'll definitely look into it as a career move.
I'm all right.
You, Adam, you think? No, you're fine. Okay. Mr. M.A. Campbell comes back saying, hashtag WrestleLuke, hashtag justice for Luke. Again, we can't endorse those messages legally. Mundy says, Ollie made the biggest heel turn of 2020, and I'm so invested in the story being told. Maybe pass on some advice to WWE so maybe they get better. Hashtag JTJ. And I do need to address this because I think calling it a heel turn, calling it a storyline, this is people's lives we're messing with, guys. Like this is real life. What happens on Quizzlemania? What happens on the WrestleTalk podcast? This is people's real lives and real experiences. It's not just a story for your entertainment. Luke's gone, man. Like I'm pretty cut up about it. But
you're all right, man.
I'm fine. I'm fine, but
we've got a couple more
chats to go through, and then we'll get through it. It's fine.
We'll talk after this, okay?
Eduardo Seren says, Mr. Davis's heel turn is right there on top with the Hulk Hogan heel turn. Hashtag WrestleLuke. Rathman says, hi Laurie and Adam and everyone. Adam, I was really rooting for you last night. You did your best. You'll get him next time.
Sorry, that kind of helped. Laurie, do you want to send me the super chats, mate? I don't know if you're in a position to do them.
I'll just put them in.
Just pop them to me on Discord, mate. Thank you, mate. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll take over. So we've got Eduardo Surins saying, giving us $5. WrestleMania X7, Stone Cold heel turn. Quizzlemania X7, Mr. Davies turns heel. Coincidence? The two biggest names in wrestling turning heel. And then we have a last minute message from Timothy Beattie saying, how many total falls in the Iron Man match do you think? I think you're looking at maybe one each. I think maybe five. Everyone gets one and someone gets a second one right at the end.
What do you think? The Oprah booking, as it's known.
Yeah. And... Money in the Bank, MTB Payback says, ideas for the next UK champ. Who beats Walter? Or maybe Balor. Maybe Balor would be a good... Dragunov. What do you think, Laurie?
Balor was the one.
Wrestling is fun, isn't
sorry, Balor. Balor was the one. He was on the cards, wasn't he, Balor? So I think they do want to save that Walter-Balor match. And that is the kind of... They still need to sort of... plump NXT UK. That BT Sport deal is still very new, and they've obviously had to struggle through quite hard times initially. So that I think that's the sort of kick in the ass that NXT UK will need when it comes back properly, to be like, here's Walter and Balor for the title. That's going to be a real boost to them. If that's all the super chats, we've got one last thing to do before we get out of here, which is to thank our pledge hammers on Patreon for all their support. Obviously, kind of need it now. More than ever, it's troubling times for everyone here at WrestleTalk. So, yeah, thank you so much for your support. Xandermania running wild. Thank you for your support. Benjamin, always the bridesmaid, never the McBride. Thank you for your support. Angelic Angelo Mercado, thank you for your support. Duncan, just Duncan. The Boozerweights, Ari and Shifra, thank you for your support. This is some kind of Patreon shout out. Nate dropped surname. That's the full name. Butter me up, Soren Nord. Thank you for your support on Patreon, which is, that's a, that, to be fair, that's a, I think that's a Luke one because it's about Soren Fruitler. Look, we've got five more. Sorry. It's High Noon, Matthew McCreedle. That's a Pete one, so that's less upsetting. Peter Fiber Brontaus, thank you for your support. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man. Thank you for your support. And last two, Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman, thank you. And just a guy, a Rydot guy. Thank you for your support. And I'm sorry.
It's okay, man. Honestly, you don't have anything to apologize for. You're doing the best in a difficult time. We do actually have a few more late super chats, if you don't mind me just
go for it.
The Council Villainous is so great. I have all the expansions. It's like solitary, but people get to F with you. Delightful. I can't wait. Asymmetric games where every player has a different power and the powers work differently against each other. That's my jam. Breathing Nerdum says just hashtag justice for Luke. Xandermania and I will make sure he sees justice. Thank you so much. And Mindforlife 102 says, fantasy booking here. Finn wins the title, holds it till Survivor Series, where we get Finn versus Fiend versus Demon in a spooky rematch. And poor Drew is just there as the odd man out. First time super chatter. A bleak picture you paint. I'd love to see Demon versus Fiend. Feels like if Finn ever goes back to the main roster, they'll probably run that.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
So one thing we haven't done yet, Adam, is discuss TakeOver XXX. Please don't Google it. Because we didn't have a live stream for reactions. We didn't have a proper podcast review on Sunday, because everyone's getting ready for SummerSlam. We've been incredibly busy. So what did you think of the show?
I thought it were good. Not great. It was good.
Yeah, I think it was exactly what I kind of imagined it would be. It was a perfectly serviceable takeover. I don't think it was quite up to the standard of In Your House, which I thought was a little bit better. And it definitely wasn't the standard of a takeover in front of a crowd. But I did really enjoy the North American ladder match. That was really, really fun. I thought Cameron Grimes is just a genius. Everything he does is brilliant.
So many goddamn times I thought he was going to win that match. I felt so smug for predicting him so many times.
Yeah, you got to go. That's the thing. You got to go with the safe picks. I had a perfect takeover except Breezango. That was it. Mm. Quite annoyed by that. But yeah, I love that match. I thought the women's match was brilliant too. A bit kind of messy with Rhea Ripley coming out at the end, but I still enjoyed that. And then, you know, we're recording this before we've actually done the podcast. We're probably discussing the podcast, the fact that it feels kind of like they were like Rhea versus Raquel. Big women do things. And it was like, but Mercedes also still here. And when they sort of transitioned to Raquel and Rhea at the end of TakeOver, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know. And then it was like, and now Mercedes is back in the picture again. So they're just going to do a triple threat with those three. That'd be quite cool. The only thing I haven't actually watched yet, and I haven't had time to, is the championship match.
Really?
I haven't watched Karrion Kross win the belt yet. I watched all the rest of TakeOver the other day, and I've just been too busy since then to get back on it.
It's a letdown, which is not to say the match is bad. It's just not the kind of hoss fight that I think we've pretty much become accustomed to with Keith Lee because of the whole Dominik Dijakovic kind of relationship. I think we were expecting a little bit more pyro, whereas it's it's certainly serviceable. And I, you know, obviously with the shoulder being separated during the match, it's possible that an audible was called and that we did not get to see the match that they were building to. It certainly felt like the legs were cut out from under it. The serve, you know, I think when you watch it, you'll see that the finish comes a little bit out of nowhere. But it is still good. I think I enjoyed the North American ladder match of everything that has happened on like the silent non-canon Elseworlds takeovers. I enjoyed the North American ladder match. Probably the most out of all of them. I love the beautiful chaos. But yeah, I can understand this felt a little bit less flavorful, a little less substantial. Although I do notice, Laurie, that you did dance around the Pat McAfee Adam Cole match, not quite wanting to own up to your mistakes. It was better than expected.
There were some really good spots in there, and there were a couple of bits where I was like, wow, that's really impressive, and they hung together with a match that was fairly lacking in pace. But sure, yeah, he can do a backflip, that's cool. Like, yeah, that is, you know, that popped me. Him doing the flip senton to the outside was great. Like, his trash talk is good. He's definitely got like amazing potential. I just don't know whether debuting on a takeover against Adam Cole is the greatest thing of all time. I love the finish, by the way, when Adam Cole was like going to go for the last shot and was like, nah, you don't deserve the last shot. And then did the Panama Sunrise to finish it. That's brilliant. That's great storytelling. But it was a reasonably good match. I think if he was a wrestler, you'd be like, that's a reasonably fine match. But because he's Pat McAfee, you have to go, yeah, that's brilliant. It was a very good debut for someone who's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
And yeah, I eat my hat a little bit on that one because, yeah, I did say it was a bad feud to begin with. But they did turn it around in the last 2 weeks with a brilliant promo and a pretty good match. It's one of the best celebrity matches that WWE has done for a very, very long time.
Oh, it's up there in the top 10, I think. Yeah. Like up there with Mayweather and Stephen Amell. Like, yeah, the guy, I think that's the thing, is like, I think you saw the work in the match. I agree. Yeah, it's not like you would not expect that from a takeover. That is, you know, if that was another wrestler, that would be probably a weekly match with a, you know, an extra little high spot thrown in for good measure. But yeah, for the flavor of the feud, for the fact that everyone, you know, including us, was expecting it to be dog ass, the fact that it turned out to be good provided a weird little extra kind of revelatory, like, kind of level of enjoyment. I thought it was fun. I was just giggling the whole way through watching Pat McAfee just like strutting like a chicken, being like, yeah, wrestling's easy. I thought that was really funny.
I think it's interesting that they didn't choose to do it on weekly TV. Like, considering they're desperate for ratings over AEW, and there's all these rumors of, you know, trying to like, how are we going to pop the ratings here? Are we going to bring people down? Are we going to use celebrities? Blah, 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 blah. It's weird to not just put the big match on NXT TV, because I think, one, you wouldn't have had so many questions from people being like, is this really worthy of being on a takeover? And I think that's kind of, I think takeover standards have been so high that just going, yeah, Pat McAfee did a perfectly fine match with Adam Cole on takeover. It wasn't a takeover match. But maybe I'm just used to seeing takeover matches on takeovers. But
to be fair,
that on TV, I think would have probably popped the ratings a lot more and would have been a better use of that match.
I would argue that we haven't seen a takeover match since Portland. Mm. I would argue that a vital component of the takeover match is the crowd. And I think in terms of at least creating some fun memories in these fanless takeover times, I think Pat McAfee and Cole did that. Like, genuinely, like, yeah, none of these have really felt like takeovers. Like, In Your House did it in the main event, maybe. You know, and there were bits of it with like Balor and Thatcher. There were bits with the North American ladder match. But like, It's not a takeover without the fans. It just doesn't feel the same. So I think fair play to NXT for at least putting together a good show.
But put NXT in the Thunderdome, for God's sake. Then it'll feel like a takeover.
Maybe.
Hundreds of gormless faces trying to emote when they're told to by someone off screen.
Yeah,
Pikachu's there.
Pikachu's there.
Yeah. We get Grimlock going.
Good show. Well done, good show. Hello, Grimlock. Good to see you, old friend.
Old friend. Okay, cool. Well, that is us done for the podcast. What have we got coming up this week, you might ask? We have the magazine show tomorrow. We have SmackDown on Saturday, and we have Payback on Monday. And Payback is going to be important because this is Wrestle Luke, RIP, sadly attempting to get his job back at Power. I don't know how he intends to get his job back, but yeah, we'll see how things go. So you might want to tune in for that one and tune in for the review to see what we make of that show that came 1 week after SummerSlam, which was a pretty decent show. But yeah, what is pay-per-views? What is build is the question.
What is life? What is wrestling life?
What is wrestling? Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.